Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffering? Hello? Hey. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the off-ramp, October 21st. Oh, shit. What the fuck is that? October 21st, 2021. Hope wherever you're at, you're in good spirits, good health, good vibes, good visions, good ideas, good thoughts. Welcome to the off-ramp, show for the people, by the people that embodies the people. It's a show where me and my folks get together and rap about the week's mathematics. He was popping in the streets, your hood, my hood, all hoods, suburbs, mansions, country, wherever you at, man. We like to just get together and rap. No real format. I got a bunch of topics. If you got topics, feel free to call in. 929-477-3975. Shout out to my brother Fat Duke. He set up our socials. We'll get to them this week. I wanted to do it today, but it's been a bit of a hectic day, so couldn't get to them. If you want to call in, you got topics you want to discuss, you got a subject that you found interested in, in the show, we laugh together, cry together, smile together, pray together, you know, have a good conversation. No judgments. Everybody gets a nickname so that none of you get canceled, because I know how, you know, it is sensitive in these times. And when we get together, it's like barbershop talk. We have good conversation. We laugh and joke. Sometimes the joke can go too far. We rein ourselves in a bit. We don't want to anybody get fired or anything. So, again, if you want to call in, 929-477-3975. Let's see. All right, man, so let's welcome in. We got my man M Extra Money on the line. M Extra, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing, my brother? It sounds like you're driving.
I am driving. Managed my mute properly. But, man, everything's good over here, brother.
How's the week been treating you? Everything good?
Yeah, man, busy, man. I'll be up there to see my daughter play softball tomorrow.
But, oh, yeah?
Got scrimmage.
Oh, you got scrimmage.
Three and five.
Oh, man, if I wasn't in quarantine, I would come. She's supposed to come over to my house Saturday, but we'll have that conversation. Well, good luck to her.
Yeah.
Good luck to her, man. Yeah. Have a safe trip down. Let me know
first college action. Yeah, I'm excited about
it. That's what's up. Good stuff. I know you're excited. Proud dad. Shout out to my niece, man. She'll do a couple home runs tomorrow. Got my man Blur on the line. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Doing great, man. Blessing highly favored. Thanks for having me on, as always. Shout out to Little M Extra. I mean, I don't do that home run softball. I mean, if they do that, go ahead and smack a couple of them.
What do you mean, do they have home runs in softball? It's just baseball.
Yeah, like I was going to say, what does that mean?
I mean, it's
girls.
So, I mean, I'm assuming we were like.
They be putting it over their fence. She had like.
I mean, but it's a girl fence, right? It's a girlfriend, so they still call it a home run?
I mean,
they call it a home ex run.
They be hitting it over 200 feet, bro. It's 200 feet in the corners. 180. Man. So
I just don't know why, because it's girls, why would it be considered a home run? It's not masculine about the word home run. It's not like home dude.
No, I'm not talking about, like, not it being, like, the word itself, but I'm just saying, like, if you only hitting it, like, I mean, if you only hit it a quarter of the distance, like, why are we still qualifying that as a home run? But I get it. I mean, yeah, it's all relative to the competition.
No, yeah. I mean, in Little League, if they hit it over a fence, it may only be 50 feet. They still call it a home run. What are you talking about?
No, right? What are you talking about?
Just say you're wrong.
I mean,
I feel like there should be some requirements for it to be considered a home run. I mean, like,
what is the requirement then?
Like, what's it?
Baseball field isn't the same as Major League. College baseball fields aren't the same as Major League. So you don't count none of that in the home run then until you get to the majors.
I mean, college might count. Like, I watched a couple of college World Series. Like, those be looking legit.
I don't know. All right, let's move on, bro.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
I'm glad to have you.
Like, can we give it, like, can we call it, like, a ground rule double and two errors or something? Like, and they still get the same, still get to round the bases?
So no, me and Blurbin
are about
9 a.m. I'm not even paying him no mind, yo. He's been on one today, yo. He's been on one today. We've been having discussions back and forth all morning. But thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on the Off Ramp. Glad to have you both. I got a bunch of topics to discuss tonight. DJ C-Siren is running around here somewhere. We just ate some sausage, onions, and peppers, and then she told me afterwards, like, oh, shit. Onions are on, like, the ban list because people are getting salmonella. Did y'all know that if y'all eat onions right now, you can get salmonella?
Nah. But who? From who? What farm? What company?
So it's not a specific company. It's any onion grown in Mexico. So they have been reported of salmonella outbreaks in 35 different states because 90% of our onions come from Mexico. So don't eat anything with onions in it for at least a month. Just a heads up.
Okay.
And
all right.
If I get sick, it ain't because of COVID. It actually might be COVID. I had a COVID scare. Like, yo, man, these anti-vaxxers, I respect y'all's opinion. Not to want anything forced in your body, but y'all are really fucking up my kid's life, man. My kid was supposed to have a big football game tonight. One of his classmates got COVID. So now we in lockdown mode. And it's really just inconvenient. I hope y'all week is starting off better than mine. I got my man New York, New York in the building. New York, New York, what's good, my G? How you holding up?
I'm good. High spirits.
Glad to hear. Always appreciate the high spirits. All right, well, look, Blur, I'm going to go to you first. Anything particular you want to discuss tonight? Blur, you got us on mute?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, we actually did. My bad. I was like, you know, I always got things to hop on. Since we got MX on the line and we were talking girl sports, I don't know if any of y'all heard. Did anybody see what happened at the WNBA Finals? Not necessarily watch the game, but what happened after the championship game?
Well, I mean, I'll go. Oh, my bad. I hit myself on you. I'll go first. I didn't even know WNBA Finals happened. So, no, I don't know what happened afterwards. I saw one of them, like, blue teams won. And I feel bad because I'm one of the few people who enjoy girls basketball or women's basketball. But I didn't know the WNBA Finals was happening. So, me personally, no, I don't know what you're referring to, bro.
Yeah, I knew they were happening. I forget who won. That was the LA team, but I'm not sure.
And LA didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, I don't know. But I saw some headlines, but I didn't even get too deep into what it was. So, like, what is it? What happened?
So, the finals was the Chicago and Phoenix. And
okay.
So, Phoenix Mercury lost. It's a five-game series. They lost in game four. They refused to do a post-game press conference. That's Diana Taurasi. That's Brittany Griner, Skylar Diggins. The whole team said, no, we're not doing we lost. We're not doing a post-game press conference. Which got me thinking, like, apparently earlier in the playoffs, when another team got eliminated, it was like, I can't remember, the African chick. She tried to do her press conference, but she couldn't stop crying. So the press conference was just her sobbing and everything, trying to answer questions. And apparently they're saying that's the reason that the whole team decided, no, we're not going out there to do a press conference. And I'm like, what kind of weak bullshit is that? It seems like this is just the evolution, in my opinion, of the whole thing with the tennis chick. I'm drawing a blank on her name, Naomi Osaka. Yeah, my mental health. I don't want to answer questions, do press conference. They lost. We had to watch, we saw, what's his name, Cam Newton get embarrassed. He had to get up there and answer questions after he lost. Hear people talk about him. He had to get up and walk away. In every other sport, if you lose a championship, you still got to go up and answer questions. You lose a game, you still got to go up and answer questions. Like, yo, I can't believe this is, like, this is the quote-unquote professional basketball league, and they're saying, nah, but we out. We're not doing it. We're not answering no questions. And, y'all, like, nobody – and I understand it's WNBA, it's women's sports, so I ain't expect it to be a major headlines, but nobody is talking about it. Nobody even thinks it's like, it's whatever, it's women. I feel like it's setting women back. I actually like the WNBA. I like women's basketball. I can't believe no one even mentioned this at all.
Yeah, it's surprising. I didn't know about that. I saw – one of them celebrate. I didn't realize that the entire team skipped out on the presser. Without knowing the details, my opinion goes like this. Are they required to speak to the media after games?
Yes.
If so, why? Is it because, you know, media is part of sports, sponsors go through it? If they're required in their contracts that they sign to speak with the media, then that's terrible. You know, like, yo, you lost the game. It sucks. You know what I mean? Like, okay, a chick was crying because she was so emotionally spent. Like, people need to see that. People need not – it's not embarrassing. You know, let kids see that, and then let kids see her come right back on the court and ball out again because she wants to try to redeem that. The story of redemption is always – worth more than the loss, but I'm with you. It's like the discussion we was having earlier. We use on the other side. You know, I think people these days are just maybe we're just at the point where parents and we're just old school. These kids are soft. These people, these humans, are just soft. Everyone has to feel like they have to be catered to their feelings, and like everybody says that, you know, you got to be careful of your mental health and all that stuff. Like, well, some of your mental health has to be able to take criticism and be able to express emotions and not feel embarrassed about it. Okay, you're crying on camera. Who gives a fuck? Like, why do you care so much that someone sees you crying on camera? Like, that's an issue. But, you know, MX your money. What you got?
Yeah, I got a lot to say, actually, on this one. I think I missed the other comment. Or we're not talking about this before with Naomi. But
speak up a little.
I think that, okay, so mental health, I think, is a lot, right? So I don't want to discredit mental health, and it's definitely not an excuse. What I think is just the evolution of humans, right? And so if you look at, if you're calling kids now soft, then all we got to do is look at the mirror, and then it's our fault, right? Because we're smarter than our parents, right? So then you can question, were your parents just insensitive parents, or were they just tough cookies because of what they dealt with when they were growing up, right? But the reality of it is that we are our parents, and we ain't go through half of the shit that they've been through. And so we baby the shit of our kids. They're growing up now because we provided avenues for them to have a voice and to be able to express and tap into their feelings because we're smarter as a generation. And so, therefore, we didn't have to be tough on our kids. And even if we were tough, it wasn't the same tough as our parents because that shit ain't acceptable today. And so I'm saying that if you're gonna take that stance, then it's because the way you raised your kids, and because you're smarter than your parents. And so now, as a generation, we embrace people being able to express their feelings and cry and be quite honest with you. In terms of the media, sometimes the media gets a fucking sense of like entitlement and feel like you got to be all in my life every fucking minute of the day because you got a media badge. And so I think it's okay for someone to say, get the fuck out of my face, and I don't feel like talking to you. And I don't care about your story. And I don't care about what headlines you're getting. Because I, honestly, that's the only reason why you're in my face, right? Because somebody's paying you to be there, right? You don't really care about my feelings genuinely. So, yeah, is it okay to cry on camera? Sure. But is it okay to cry in front of somebody who doesn't give a fuck about my feelings, really? Because they're just getting a paycheck, so that's the reason why they're there to begin with, right? Why do I got to express that to them? Why can't I just take a time, a day, to be able to gather my thoughts before I get in front of some people who I know genuinely don't give a shit about my feelings, for them to be all in my face, and then they choose the headline that they want to run with, right? So I think that's a thing, too, right? And honestly, why aren't you open up with what Wilder did? I don't know, maybe that was last week, but Wilder didn't have a fucking end of the fight press conference either. He didn't show the hell up, so is he weak? Because you can't say that to women, because there's men that do that shit too, right? So Bill Belichick can stand up that bitch and don't say shit to them. I'm just saying, I mean, we can't just say women, though, right? So, like,
I didn't say
men.
I'm just clearing my name. I didn't say women.
Yeah,
I called them.
And I didn't say anybody did. I'm just saying in general, right? Like, if that's weak shit, then with Wilder there, there's even more weak shit if he's supposed to be the man and the lesser women, right? Or unless if you said me too and they're the same. So Wilder's the same thing, right? That's some weak shit.
Yep.
You got your ass beat,
yep.
Right? And you couldn't even say good fight to the dude, right? So I'm saying, to me, I just think that I side with, yo, let me fucking deal with my emotions the way I want to fucking deal with them. Why am I forced to be able to talk to somebody who I know don't care about me, right? Why can't I just deal with that
because,
shit? Let me process it.
Let me take it.
And I get it that it's in the contract. So in the contract, I get that part, right? And so, therefore, yeah, you do have an obligation to do that if it's in the contract. But I think that sometimes, you know what I mean, we give the media, like, a pass on the dumb shit that they do put out. And some people are getting tired of that shit. So now that's why you're seeing people speak out against that shit. They're not speaking out against the sport and being able to express their feelings. They're speaking out really against the media entitlement of trying to be at the capture in every fucking moment and every sense and then run with a fucking lead that really doesn't express or capture exactly what I was feeling that day.
Let me clarify. They didn't say they weren't going out there for mental health. That's the only reason that I could think about it, because they had someone else had brought up the thing about the chick in the round previous crying through her whole post-game interview, and it was, like, uncomfortable and really wasn't a great interview. So nobody from Phoenix said that, hey, we're not going out there for mental health. Diana Taurasi was the first person to say she wasn't going out there to do, and the rule is you have to have three players. That's all that matters. You have to have two starters, three players minimum. Two of them have to be starters to do a post-game press conference. When Diana Taurasi said, no, she's not doing it, the whole team was like, all right, Diana not doing it. She's the team captain. She's like, in the WNBA world, she's kind of the Kobe Bryant at the WNBA. She's not going, all right, none of us are going. We ain't doing it. So they didn't really necessarily say mental health, but, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the narrative of the people who were talking about. I only saw one news outlet even mention it at all. But the reason, and there may be some entitlement, I'm not going to say none of it is entitlement, but the reason you have to do this is because this is how you get paid. The same way the WNBA is always talking about money, 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 money. They're talking about we're a lesser league, we're not a lesser league, we need to be treated like everyone else. Do the same thing that everybody else does. It's different from Deontay Wilder because he didn't talk to his opponent. Still weak shit, absolutely still weak. You lost.
No,
big man up. Deontay Wilder actually did do a post-fight press conference. I've seen his post-fight press conference.
Bro, he was not there on stage, bro. He was not there. It was him. It was Fury, his trainer, and they was like, well, I guess Wilder's not going to show up. Before even the party happened, yo, he did not show up to that motherfucker. Yo.
He did not. He did
well,
not
the one I seen was in the locker room, so maybe that's why. Maybe he ain't doing it on stage, but I did see him get interviewed after the fight in the locker room, dressing room, locker room, whatever you want to call it. They didn't do any post. Like, this is the thing. They give you time. Go get yourself together. Collect yourself. Cry, do whatever you got to do. Shower, and then come out. We'll wait for you. But, yeah, we got stories to run because we want to promote your league. This is how you get paid. We want to sell you stuff.
Who's the sponsor?
I don't know.
The New York Times, the Chicago Herald. Ain't nobody sponsoring the goddamn team.
No. We want to sell your product. This is part of your product, the game, the finals, all that. The people, so that we get paid. Brittany Griner and Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins. People didn't even know. Last time you heard Skylar Diggins was when Lil Wayne was wearing her jersey.
Yeah, listen, you know a whole lot.
How about if we get a post-game interview and we get a soundbite from Skylar Diggins? Maybe you could get a little bit more coverage. Maybe you could get some sponsorship.
She's actually not.
Maybe we start putting the good-looking people on camera. How about you come out and get some film time? Get some camera time. Put yourself out there. Put a good product on the court and off the court. Let us sell you. Same thing with Naomi Osaka. You have to do the conference because this is how you're going to get paid. We're not going to put just a match on TV because we're not going to get our advertisement dollars, and so we're not going to pay the U.S. Open to then pay you the prize money. You're not getting paid off a ticket sale.
But how are you getting paid off of what a person writes on a damn
Our interview, our coverage is what we're going to put out there so that we can sell to advertisers. Hey, look, we got people coming to read our article, click on our thing, watch our channel. We're going to put you out there, whether it's you're crying or whatever. Maybe we don't care, but we do care enough about the sport. That's why our network signed a contract to cover it. That's why we got beat writers out here. We got our job to do.
Hey,
you got your job to do.
Can I interject real quick? And shout out to DJ Sintern. She's in the building. The only reason why I don't agree with you, Extra Money, when you say they don't care anything about us, because I feel like if you're a reporter, of course, nothing is 100%. Nothing is monolithic. If you're a reporter and you're a beat writer, you're covering any sport, you have the opportunity to cover sport. I think that most of the media looks at it as a chance to tell a compelling story about a moment in time. It's their time to shine. It's their time to tell the story. This is how, if it wasn't for reporters, we don't get the great ESPN 30 for 30s. We don't get the Michael Jordan 10-part series. If all those reporters weren't there writing down, you know, the moment that Michael Jordan's dad died and what he looked like, what he felt that moment. Because, you know, those things fade in time. So these reporters are important to capture the moment, the visuals, the emotions of these times. And I think it's important for the long run. Like, let's say the WNBA becomes more popular than the NBA. Like, these are the moments that people will look back at the start of it, when it started turning, when it started getting popular. That's important that someone transcribes this stuff. So I think it's important for these athletes to talk to these reporters, even though I agree, there are some reporters who are there just to get a check and who are there to basically, you know, take advantage of these people's emotions and put them on Front Street because everything is a YouTube clip. Everything is a viral moment. So there's definitely probably someone in that room that wants to take a picture of this young lady crying and make her the Jordan meme. But I also believe that there's more than one. And, like, if you're in media nowadays, like, there's no huge, huge money in it, especially if you're covering the WNBA, no offense. But if you're in the media nowadays, like, I'm pretty sure most of these people are in it to tell a compelling story. And I think it's important to transcribe these informations. And I don't think that if it's in the contract, I don't know what's in the contract. I won't even pretend to know what's in the WA women's contract. But if it's in the contract because someone feels it's important enough for them to speak to the media after the game, then they should be fined. Now, if they're willing to accept the fine, then cool.
Yeah. Well, the team got fined. I don't think the players got fined, but the team did get fined.
Yeah, and I agree with that contact. And I didn't say that they didn't have a place. what I was saying about the media in relation to what, how, why do I got to share my feelings at that given moment, right? Give me my time. Give me a day, and then I'll do a press conference. That's all I was saying. I'm saying that if I'm in my feelings and I'm dealing with something, why do I have to be obligated to talk to you right now, right? Like, I should be able to talk to you on my terms, and I'm still going to fulfill my obligation about what I'm going to say and what I want to share about the loss. It's still a loss, whether it's, to, whether it's an hour after the game or the next fucking day. I'm just saying, why do I got to, at that raw moment, express that raw feeling to someone who I know is just there, not genuinely because they feel for me in my moment of whatever I'm feeling now. It's there
what if they
because
are?
Paying them to be there. Because if you develop that relationship, so for instance, I know there were certain broadcasters can talk to certain players, right, all the time. You're going to get that lead. Why? Because I know that you're coming to me as a friend, not just you're just a reporter for ESPN, right? That's how you get those raw moments, and that's when people or most athletes will open up to those people. But to the random people, the person that's with a mic in my face, yeah, absolutely. That's how people get leads. How do you think, why do you think people always call Adam Schefter? You know what I mean? He's got all the goddamn contacts into the bottom league because he's developed that relationship, right?
Yeah,
so certain
but
people, I get do that. I get have those relationships. I'm saying, why do I have to do that right now with everybody if I don't want to, right? Like, I shouldn't
because
have to. Because
that's your
that's,
job.
That's the job.
Part of the job.
Go ahead, Blair.
Oh, my bad. I was saying that's part of the job. Like, I don't have to care about you. I don't have to care about the WNBA or women's sports. My job as a beat reporter for ESPN, I got my assignment, go cover the finals. I'm here doing my job. I'm covering the finals. I'm going to take my notes. I'm going to get contacts. I'm going to get a story to write up. I'm doing my job. You got to do your job, too. Your job is to put
it
on the court. And then
I
come and talk about
it. I don't get paid to talk
about it. That's a part of it. That's part of the job. You think LeBron and them wanted to talk about losing the close game? They heard, no, but they had to come out and do a post-game press conference. It's part of the job. Coaches complain all the time in the NFL. They don't want to do the right before halftime, right after halftime, little sideline talk.
Listen, I mean,
but
I
they
mean,
know
I
it.
That,
Greg
right?
Popovich comes up there and grunts through his teeth all the time. But hey, it's part of the game. We got to do it. It's part of the job.
Yeah, I know. Marshawn Lynch made a big statement about it, right? I'm just here so I don't get fined, right? William State, yeah, I'm just here so I don't get fined. But that's what I'm saying. Why do you think he did that? He didn't owe them any damn thing. His job was to be on the football field and make the Seahawks a winning team. That's your job. That's why you get a contract. Yes, are there stipulations in the contract for the league to say, hey, they want a brand and they want these stories out there? Absolutely. But that ain't my job. That's the league trying to get their money and using me as a prop to sell their product. That's not my job, right? So, yeah, I get it. I'm just saying there got to be a two-way street, though. And I think that's where people now, at least athletes now today, are recognizing, like, yo, I'm going to talk to you on my terms. I'm not going to talk to you on your terms. Do you think they're not going to talk to them or have no other press conference after this? I mean, they are. All of them are probably going to be there, or whoever they wants to talk. They just didn't want to talk
and you know
right
what?
Now.
No one's going to care there because we have a deadline. We talked about the WNBA Finals for that one day. That one day
that
after
one day.
It happened, it got
yeah,
airtime.
Maybe one sound bite. I don't even know if they got a repeat after that joke.
And to be honest, the only people who were ESPN who even brought it up, I think Scott Van Pelt talked about it that night. And the very next day were the WNBA players on ESPN and the former players. They were, hey, we're not talking about the WNBA. We're not talking about the WA. Hey, you know, we had a championship game last night, guys. Anybody care? Oh, no, more Dallas Cowboy talk. Okay, back to the Cowboys.
So, and that
had we given, to, had Brittany Griner actually came on stage and said something, maybe they could have talked about him.
Yeah, they were going to talk about him regardless.
And that brings me to another discussion. Like, in this whole women's movement thing, like, women don't even support women. Like, why wasn't, my wife is a sexist feminist. Like, she didn't care about the women's finals.
Like, how come women aren't supporting women's basketball?
I barely care about the men's finals.
But you should care about the women's finals. Can you stop eating chips in the microphone?
But I can tell you why. And I mean, it's a less entertaining game. I mean, and I actually like the WNBA. I like women's basketball. I like women's basketball since high school. But it is a less entertaining game. I watched every game, but I watched at least one game out of every series because I paid attention throughout the season, so I was actually a little bit invested. I mean, I actually did want LA to make it, but I mean they kind of sucked this year. But it's a less interesting game. Like there's not a major difference in players. So you got centers. Well, I guess it's the same thing in the NBA. You got centers the same size as guards, and everybody comes down and plays the exact same way. With the exception, maybe two players. Brittany Griner is one of them, and Ole Olimbowa, whatever her name is, she's another one. Everyone else is essentially the same player doing exactly the same thing.
I mean, I don't agree. I really like WNBA basketball. I don't think it's a bad fight. I just don't think it's as many good teams. So you'll find a lot of bad matchups through the WNBA. But the fact that it's on during football season kind of sucks for them. But you know, like around. Like, July, you know, it's good that the WNBA is on. But, you know, but going back to the subject of just simply them not talking, I think it's soft. But I'm not saying that, DJ Susan, you want to jump in? I'm not saying that because of women, because I think the way Ben Simmons is acting is soft. You know, I think if Deontay Wilder not talking to his opponent after he lost a fight and I missed the fight, I think that's soft. Like, I don't equate soft to women. I'm not trying to be sexist out here. But, I mean, I think this generation, and I disagree with M. Extra Money because I'm hoping I'm not raising my son to be soft. Like if you're going to cry, cry. If you're more worried, if you're going to cry because you upset you lost a game, like, that's okay. But if you're going to cry and you don't want anybody to see you cry because you're ashamed to cry, then you're putting too much stock in what other people think about you, and that's a problem. Express your emotions how you want to express them, and don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about you.
No, but that's not media training.
That's, but,
and if you're concerned about the media,
what do you mean media training?
To the media, I'm telling you, not what they tell young athletes to act like.
How do you know what media training in sports is like?
I know. I don't have credentials, but I know. You know, and so. It's not about not caring what people think about, you know, how you respond to stuff. You're criticized if you cry. You're criticized if you're not.
Who criticized people for crying?
We're talking about the media and the general public.
The media doesn't. The media doesn't criticize you
people
for crying.
I'm saying yes, they did. And my question is, when's the last time you all
the
were
media
so interested in the sport? Stop to look at the losing team post, you know, loss.
I'm an Eagles fan. I've been doing it all my life.
At least after I do look at the Eagles.
See? I've been doing it all my life. I look all I've been looking at loser post-game interviews a lot.
But I listen to the coach more than I listen to the players.
Hey,
well,
we got to call.
But
hold on, Blair. Hold on, Blair. We got some new calls on the line. I'm going to give them a voice. We got a call from Norristown. I'm not going to give your name because we like to keep things anonymous. But Norristown, welcome to the off-ramp. You got any comments on the subject that we're discussing now?
Hey, this is Ricky.
I know. Are we looking
for a thing in one room?
God,
I love you.
First of all, your comment about, no, take it back.
I love you,
your
sir.
Comment about why don't women support other women?
Hold on, would you start all over, sister? We're too busy laughing because you're not supposed to say your real name. I don't want somebody to hear this. I know you. Hey, sis, how you doing? I love you. Go ahead, yell at me.
My comment is, I'm taking it back. You said, why don't women support other women, and why didn't we watch the WNBA? My problem is this. I didn't even know the WNBA finals were on because they're not as marketed as much as the NBA. So somebody who's on social media, who's constantly on or watching TV or on social media, I didn't even know the WNBA finals were on. So I think that's why we didn't support them. I think maybe we had the same respect. WNBA had the same respect as the NBA and was marketed more and stuff. Maybe we would have had better support. But I think we don't know what's going on WNBA because we just don't hear about it.
And that's my whole point, because if you cared about it, it wouldn't matter if ESPN promoted it. Y'all would be promoting
it. Okay, I'm not a basketball fan. So I really don't know, but I will support other women. There's stuff I have watched I had no interest in because I want to support other women. But WNBA, yeah, it's not really on mine because, I mean, if I see stuff, I'm going to, like, hey, that's women, I'm going to support that. But that's like saying because you're not a basketball fan. I'm not really a basketball fan. But if you see a woman, you see women do all the same, we're going to support them. But
I
you really think the WNBA has the same respect as the NBA? No, they don't. Look at their salaries.
No, but it's not as good and it's not as profitable. Not saying that it's because they're women. It's just, you know, the money poured
into. And it's because they're women. You would think it's not because they're women, the WNBA, why some of the girls are paid like a regular, like, 9-to-5 salary compared to multi-million dollars the NBA makes?
They're not paid like a 9-to-5 salary, or they would be working 9-to-5. But
I read the lowest salary
a high paid
9-to-5. Like 40 grand.
It's a little bit more than that, but yeah, it's a nice paying 9-to-5. You get like six figures out of it.
They're all getting over six figures.
Last I read, I heard somebody WNBA was paid like $65,000. That's ludicrous. Come on now.
I mean, that's still a good salary. $55,000 would be all right. And you ain't got to pay for a hotel or nothing. But, hey,
shut up. You know that's wrong.
See, look, DJ's C-Siren just said the average WNBA.
I use my Google.
The average WNBA salary is $120,000 a year. That is a great salary.
Okay, that was years ago when I Googled because I was curious. I Googled that years ago. I was curious. I was like, how are these girls getting paid? I Googled that years ago. So it might have changed. But even a 120 compared to millions of dollars, that's not fair.
Yes, it is, because you ain't paying to see no WNBA player play. But you'll see LeBron play. That's your fault.
I'm a WNBA game.
No, you ain't. When you ask me you went to a WNBA game?
I said, I will go. I will go. I'm going to WNBA. Is your team in D.C.? I'll go. I will go to work, though.
What's the last time?
Hey, you know what? They might get paid more. Like, imagine this. You said who sticks around to watch the losing team struggle? This was essentially the Los Angeles Lakers with Shaq and Kobe losing in the finals. People would stick around to watch that, right? I think people would definitely stick around to see what Shaq got to say after a game. They've done it. They would definitely stick around to see what Kobe got to say after an elimination game. This was that. This was the Shaq and Kobe Lakers losing. They were highly favored to win. You got Dionis Rossi and Brittany Griner. That's Shaq and Kobe at a WNBA. And they lost. This is like, I guess they're moving to Tim Duncan. I mean, I know that won't work because that's still the West, but people would stick around. You want to see your high-level, your high-marketed players talk. And they did. I mean, win or lose, you want to put your best players on out front.
It's just like a bunch of women to get moody and decide not to talk to you.
The same as men show their emotions every day, and men do when they get upset on the football field and stuff. Are we really going there?
What are we doing on the football field? What emotions have
y'all
you seen
really
on the football field?
Y'all don't get emotions. Y'all really don't show. Y'all don't get emotional from sports and stuff, and it's only women.
I'm just saying that. It's a shame. That
I see the worst parents. Like, look at kids' sports, how emotional parents get over kids' sports. We had guns pulled out and stuff by dads, not moms, by dads. That's emotions.
Don't act like moms don't be fighting them in kids' sports.
Every kid's sport you Google is usually the fathers who is showing their emotions, who is acting out, trying to be the coach, or showing their emotions. If you Google now, parent fights at kids' games, 10% of the time it is dads. It is not moms fighting. It is dads.
It's usually because the mom was talking.
No, you could Google Lil Gunn's last flag football game coach, and you will find the video of an emotional father.
Yes,
who
I saw the video. Cheryl, you said Cheryl was being petty when you threw the clipboard and you broke it. That's emotions.
It's okay. We're not using the real names, Norristown.
Okay, sorry.
It's
okay, whatever. I'm new to the show. Sorry.
It was fine. You were having a little mental health moment. You were having a little mental health moment. You broke a clipboard. You woo saha.
But that's emotions.
You counted the
10. I know that's emotions.
You didn't do no interviews after the game. Because you cursed the parent out. I mean, it was cool. It was cool. And we here
but
talking
why,
about
okay, so that's emotions, right, though?
Emotions are
that's
cool.
Emotions.
No, that's the thing. Absolutely. Emotions are cool. Get up there in front of the media and show your emotions. Do whatever you got to do.
That's
answer
I'm
the
saying.
Questions. Everybody else got to answer questions.
Coach Gunn did not want to talk in any after
game. No, I talk to my kids after the game.
No, interviews.
I want to talk to them
in interviews. With the media.
We won. I still talk my shit. Look, I did that to get my kids' attention. It was on purpose. I had to wake my kids up.
Okay.
My kids respect my passion.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wake them up to let them know that they were underperforming. I had to shock them in their soul, and they said, oh, shit, Coach is crazy right now. And you know what they did? They came through and got that W.
Oh, my God.
He controlled emotions. See, that's the difference between men and women. Men control their emotions and women don't. It's okay. It's not your fault. It's Adam's fault. It pours out of you. It's the period.
That's such BS. It's beyond BS.
It's science.
No, it's not. I think men are very emotional creatures, but just not because women are, I'll be quiet.
I mean, light-skinned dudes are emotional.
Oh, don't start racist stuff. Don't be racist.
Nah, that's not true, B. That's not true. Why you had to go there? That's not true, B.
I don't know, man. I think that is a scientific fact. I think Bill Nye or Neil deGrasse Tyson might approve that.
All right, so I guess that's it for the WNBA. Hey, I got my man Doc on the line, too. Doc, you want to jump in this or you staying on mute? You've been silent for a minute.
Hey, I just been listening and laughing. What's up, everybody? Hope everybody's doing well. Been a long time. Glad I was able to make it tonight. I was going to say, what happened with that lady in the stands who got her man knocked out? I forget, what was it, NFL game a couple weeks ago? She got real emotional.
Oh, your shit.
That
lady got that
man
flat.
And then got her man laid out. Nah, but funny conversation, definitely. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you, Doc. Glad to have you. See Norristown? That lady got all emotional, pushed that man, and that man went to sleep. That man can never show up in the Chargers stadium again.
Okay, that's not okay. If you still Google sports fans and sports games, or the most mounting people, the most fighting people in emotions is not women, it's still men. You may hear some cases of women getting their man in a fight, but that's very rare compared to you go to games and there's men throwing punches and you just hey, what was that man that threw the punch? I think he punched a girl in the face. He got upset, and you still see more men showing more emotion at sports than women.
Well, it's just white men, because just white men are violent.
Oh, wow. We just going to swan dive right into the racism. All right, I'm with it.
Oh, man. All right, that's a good conversation on the WNBA. Have extra money.
Can we,
you got any topics you want to discuss?
Yeah, man. I want to go to the stalking song, sir. Because I feel like my two would be just yours, yeah.
Alright, so
I feel like Mr. Telephone, you can lay the introduction, but
Okay, so me and Emersha had this discussion earlier, and it was just like, so I thought Hey Lover by LL Cool J featuring Boyz II Men is the, like, because, I mean, you got these Netflix shows, was it Joe or You, all these stalker shows that come out. And so me and DJ C. Siren was watching BET Throwback Thursday, and Hey Lover by Boyz II Men came on. And I thought that Hey Lover by LL Cool J featuring Boyz II Men. And I thought, is this the greatest stalker love song of all time? I mean, because if you think about the concept, like, he has no idea who this woman is, right? No clue. But he followed her at the mall. He followed her at a home, at the bus stop. Like, he was following her all over the city. And, you know, he was having fantasies of her, and he didn't even know her name, right? He just saw her. So I approached with him extra money with this topic, like, you know, Hey Love is the greatest stalker song of all time. And then he came back with his rebuttal of he feels like there's something better. Extra, the floor is yours.
So he just happened and Hey Lover to be riding a by and saw her at the bus stop. But and Mr. Telephone Man, he kept calling time and time again, asking the operator to patch him through. Like, what kind of crazy? That's like, yo, bro, like, she hung up on you. She don't want to talk to you, yo. Stop calling. Like, he just keeps calling. And then he's trying to make an excuse about why he ain't getting through. Like, that gotta be way worse than if I'm just randomly seeing you at a restaurant, then I happen to see you at a bus stop. Like, I gotta be bad. I mean, yo, bro, like, I'm consciously calling your number over and over and over again, and then went to the operator because you weren't letting me through.
See,
I
disagree because, oh, go ahead, DJ. She's trying to hop in.
Well, I was going to say, but see, it just depends on who you believe in the context of Mr. Telephone Man, because listen to the lyrics, it's his baby. So, like, is this a girlfriend with a legitimate relationship where she is just upset with him in some way or another? He has upset her. So now she's just mad and won't accept his call because he messed up. So is that the situation, or are you saying that the situation is actually he has made up this relationship and he's actually calling a girl that he really does not have a relationship with? Okay, if that's the case, then it might be around, you know, the same type of situation. But are we talking about a legit relationship and just someone is upset with someone and he's just trying to get through to trying to apologize or trying to get back with her?
So originally, right, I was with your line of thinking, and that's where I came with, okay, if that's the line of thinking, well, then all I do by truth is either what the man rerouted his whole back-to-school walking path.
I was thinking
just to see this chick, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he's thinking about her all the time. Like, so I feel like that's even better than LL.
Y'all not being fair here. I think I had to agree with Cheryl in her third theory. I don't agree. I think these are people in relationships. Because you even got Can We Talk by Tevin Campbell. And that's borderline. I mean, you
know, all I do is think
Can We Talk by Tevin Campbell.
They're not in a relationship. They're not in a relationship with truth. But all I do is think they're not in a relationship. Mr. Telephone Man, let's throw that one out there because it can be 50-50. So now we're all I do is think of you and Hey Love.
Hey Love, you have some songs that, like, hey, like, I think, like I said, Can We Talk by Tevin Campbell? If you listen to the lyrics, I don't think music at all. Can we talk? Because I think it's like somebody he just met. That's borderline stalkerish. But all I need to give you is Mr. Telephone Man. I think these people are in, like, as she says, my baby on the phone. That's somebody, I think these people, somebody in a relationship, have relationship problems.
Yeah,
she
called him cheating. He's trying to make up, but she already getting her boot smoked by the homie up the block who was carrying her books home.
They're in middle school.
I know.
You grew up with.
Hey man, don't talk about her. She had a tough life.
Hey, I got an honorable mention. I had to look it up. Beauty by Drew Hill.
Who?
A Beauty by Drew Hill. I had to look up the words. But sorry, I didn't notice you then. But then again, you didn't notice me, so we'll remain passersby until the next time we speak. I hope that I can make you mine, for another man steals your heart. And once your beauty is mine, I swear we will never be apart. I think you can throw that into the conversation.
That's a dude who got drunk and thinks that his female best friend is the one, and he don't know that he about to fuck that up too.
You sure? I mean, in the next he says, walks by me every day. Her and love are the same. I don't know, man. He sees her all the time.
Dog, LL Cool J starts his song with, I've been watching you from afar for as long as I can remember. Dog.
Yeah, I got to give this one to LL. Like, even in Mr. Telephone Man, all he did was call. Can we talk? He was walking so he could be alone and think. LL went out his way. I didn't say went out his way, but he made a point that he saw this woman in three different spots, at the mall, on the bus stop, and by her crib, or at her crib. So,
At the Rockets. I saw you, Coach Bag, in your hand.
Yeah, man. He was these ain't just coincidences. Like, the first one was just a coincidence. I saw you at the mall. I didn't know I had to see you. But now, those other three, he made that happen. He didn't just happen to see her on the bus stop. Nah, I think he knew she was going to be on that bus stop.
Well, and why is it more than a crush? Because clearly you haven't had any interaction with her. So you've already married her in the song. Like, you have energy.
He's tonguing her down with vanilla ice cream like she ain't going to be sticky and need a shower. That just can't be hygienic.
And he's already proposed, and he don't know the name, and he ain't said nothing to her. And it's more than a crush. That's creepy.
Like, he's dissing her dude for giving her money to get her hair done. Like, why is that a problem? How shallow are you, LL Cool J? I think it's the greatest stalker song of all time because he has no idea. He ends it with, I don't even know your name. So, I don't know. It was just a quick discussion. Anybody got anything left on that? I think stalker music is a pretty interesting topic. You never realize how these lyrics. Because me and DJ C. Siren was talking about this Beatles song. I sent it in the chat, a Rolling Stone song. What's it called?
Brown Sugar.
It's about having sex with a slave. Did y'all ever hear this song before?
I actually heard about it, I want to say a little while ago, but like when I heard about it a little while ago, it wasn't like a new topic. It was like, remember when this was a thing, so... Yeah, I guess it's something that pops up every couple of years because, you know, Mick Jagger is still Mick Jagger. But then whenever someone talks about Mick Jagger being Mick Jagger, the other people were like, nah. He wrote this. So I did hear about it before. Yeah, man, people fucked up.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, because the news now is that they're not going to ever perform it again, you know, because it's offensive. But I'm like, yo,
were they performing it?
Yeah, they've been performing it. They just announced that they're going to stop performing it.
Yo, if they've been performing this in this millennia, they've been performing this, Oh, yeah. Yeah, they should have been canceled. They can't still be out there performing the song.
Point is, I was very proud of Brown Sugar. I thought it was an ode.
DJ, she's tired. Always wants white people to have sex with her.
I thought it was an ode to the beauty of a black woman. I clearly didn't listen to the lyrics. I mean, it is a rock song. Sometimes all that stuff gets a little lost in translation. So this came as kind of a whole new revelation to me that it was about it wasn't just a regular black girl. I just thought, you know, it was like any of black women. Not that, I don't know, now it sounds like more I'm the overseer that's having sex with the slave.
Thank God for D'Angelo. Because he made a good Brown Sugar song.
Yes. Override the original.
It's also questionable about.
I'm disappointed in hearing. I mean, I'm glad they decided. They said they're not going to perform it because they come to the realization that it's really not appropriate. But I was very disappointed that we no longer have a rock song that's like a tribute to black women.
Who was trying to jump in there?
Yeah, it's. I heard of it, and I never really researched it, but I know I recently saw it in the news, but also yes, I guess people taking it as maybe a white man's lust for a black woman, as many of them do, but also concerning because the song was to Laird, if you keep referring to it as a young girl, and that's troublesome because it's a slave ship, you know how many of the young children that were raped and abused by slave masters wasn't even 13 or 12 years old. So I don't know who they're referring to. They keep saying young girl. Everybody keeps saying young. They say young girl in a song like 3 times. So, yeah, it's a concerning.
Yeah, I think they talk about, like, even, like, the white, the slave master's wife, like, messing with the house. They say house boy? I think they say house boy, right? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think they just, like, the song itself is just about sleeping with your slaves. I mean, the men slaves and the women slaves.
Yeah, all her boyfriends were sweet 16, no schoolboy, but, oh, I'm no schoolboy, but I know what I like. What?
Nick was probably uncle at the time.
Yeah, he did. Oh, Kelly, yo. Yo, baby, get this. Nick out here.
Wait.
Taking
the R. Kelly women. Down. I don't see a school. Only part I see about a boy is when it says, I'm no schoolboy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
I've heard this song a million times, but never really see the lyrics. Oh, gosh.
See, I've never heard this song before in my life until DJ C. Siren brought it to my attention. At this point, I just want to know, has Mick Jagger ever had a conversation on why he wrote it, what he was thinking about when he wrote it, what did he envision? Because that's got to be a story. Because as terrible as this song sounds, you know there's probably some white elitism in there. And you know he probably just got high in New Orleans and a black woman tore him out. And, like, she, like, collected her money and rolled. And he just got high again and wrote about it in the context of back in the day. So at this point, like, I just want to hear the story. So, all right.
There's been enough Rolling Stone docs and articles. I'm pretty sure that's out there somewhere.
See, I've never listened to the Rolling
Stones. I mean, not even if you never listened to them, but, you know, they come on. How many VH1 behind the music of Rolling Stones have there been? It's had to be like tons of them.
Okay.
He said he wrote it at the time of his girlfriend, Marsha Hunt.
Oh, he had a black girl. She left him. She left him for a black man. This is Eminem. This is the Eminem's nigger track. He had a black girl for this.
He wrote it while he was in love. He wrote it. Mick Jagger actress in original hair cast Marsha Hunt picture will go under the attendance with Jagger at the station for Brown Sugar. She was inspiration of the song, his then girlfriend, 1969. That's why he wrote it, he said.
I do like Mick Jagger.
You like all white people.
No, Mick Jagger is a very odd-looking white man. His features. It's like the biggest lips on a white person you've ever seen. I mean, because we already talked about how it's a thin lip. And clearly...
Just found that out a couple of years ago.
Right. It's not
Shout him. Out to white people and their lips.
But anyway, at least we still have Violet Femmes, Black Girl. So...
Who?
Another song. Another group. Another song. Another
oh,
group.
Man.
You know, Gone Daddy Gone. It was redid by...
CeeLo.
Yeah.
Danger Mouse.
Originally, the original.
Ebony and Ivory.
The original group was all white people.
Oh. Okay.
But they made a song called Black.
Moves Like Jagger. When that song came out, that's when I initially heard about this. When people were always out there talking about Moves Like Jagger. That's what I initially heard about this. Like, yo,
no,
we ain't out here celebrating Mick Jagger.
It's talking about him.
Oh, man. That just blew my mind. I didn't realize it was the same person. Because that was like a pop song. Moves Like Jagger, right?
Right, by...
I don't know who it was by.
Yes, I...
Pitbull?
Come on.
Wasn't that Adam Levine? Ain't that Adam Levine?
Yeah, Adam and his crew. Yeah.
Anybody else got anything left on? What's the greatest? So now we talked about the greatest Stalker song, and we'll have to have this conversation later. But, like, what's the greatest, like, interracial love song?
Because
it's. Because if this is an interracial love song, as terrible as it might sound, are there other interracial
Fever?
Love songs?
Who'd
you say?
The Jungle Fever.
Jungle Fever? She's got Jungle Fever.
I'm being funny.
What's the Paula Abdul and Black Coyote song? Like, because that was definitely like it was like a black character of a rat.
He was a cat.
He was a
cat.
He
okay.
was definitely black. Because Paul Abdul is white, right? Have we determined that? We still don't know?
I think she's something kind of, I don't know.
Straight Up? What was that song?
Straight Up, Now Tell Me, Do You Really Want to Love Me Forever? Uh-oh.
Is that what that song was?
No. This is, when she was dating Arsenio Hall.
She dated her.
It is back and forth or something? Two steps
that's
back?
Where that came from.
It's weird together. Come on, y'all. Help me out.
That's it.
I think it's called is it back and forth?
It's
no.
Two steps
no.
forward.
Yeah. Two steps back. We come together because opposites
attract.
Black
two heads will attract, yeah.
Is that the greatest interracial song of all time?
Opposites attract. We cannot.
It's got to be top five greatest interracial songs of all time. No?
Ebony and Ivory.
Wait, does that count? Ebony and Ivory, ain't that two dudes? Mm-hmm. Isn't Ebony and Ivory by two dudes?
I mean, what's wrong with two dudes? There's gay people running around all the time. Hey, I got another
you
one
right?
of my... I got another one of my great friends calling in. I'm going to just call you Lawyer tonight. Lawyer, welcome to the off-ramp. It's two steps forward, two steps back. The greatest interracial couple song of all time.
I mean, it would have to be Opposites Attract, right? I mean, was even though it's bad. Didn't Robin Thicke sing something about Paula at some point? There must be something.
He had a whole album about Paula. It was called
right.
Paula.
So, yes. So,
I'm trying to get that right.
There
I'm
must
back.
Be something on there that will qualify. But I don't know what it would be.
Oh, the old little way when he's talking about racism.
Let me get my joke off. He should have talked to a black man begging they'll never get a black woman back. He could have saved that whole album. We would have let him know. Go ahead. Lil Wayne made a black and white song?
No. Robin Thicke made a black and white song with Lil Wayne. It was one of the ones, you know, one of those many that they made.
Yeah, I said, even like Turn Up.
It was about black people and white people.
That was about, like, killings, though.
But it's...
I'm talking about love.
Is the fire and desire count?
Welcome to the off-ramp, you know, just to give you a heads up. Feel free to jump in as much as you want, you know, but just watch it back around. Right. This is a topic, something you want, you know, feel free to jump in. Anything you want to comment on? Did you want to yell at me like my other sister did about anything?
No, I don't need to yell yet. I'm not there.
All right.
Give it a little time.
Sounds good. Always glad to have. Anybody got anything left on the greatest black and white love making song?
Does Fire and Desire count? I feel like Fire and Desire should count.
Fire and Desire, that's love with crack. That's love with crack cocaine. I don't know.
I mean, Tina Marie White.
Yes.
But that wasn't love about a woman. That was a last love about that crack rock. Listen to that song again.
Fire.
Yeah. I'm dead serious. That was not about a woman. That was about crack cocaine, which I guess is kind of white. Beige. High yellow.
It's called that white girl. It's called that white girl. I'm just saying.
Mm. Oh, man. All right. I guess that's it on that. MX, you got any more topics you want to discuss? Did MX drop off? I know you got stuff to do. You got us on mute, MX? All right. So I'm going to go to my next topic. So me and DJ T-Time was having this discussion about eating, like, hot peppers. And people running marathons, and the discussion that came about is, why do people enjoy pain, and is there any pleasure in pain? I responded, absolutely not. Only crazy people think that there's pleasure in pain, because pain hurts. That's not pleasure. But DJ C. Siren brought up, hey, there's people who run marathons. Why would you run more than one marathon? And I was like, yo, it's to, you know, just challenge yourself. It's not really to enjoy the pain. It's to just challenge yourself with something that's difficult. And she was like, no, there's people who get runner's high. I've run a marathon. I've run a half marathon. There's no such thing as a runner's high. I've been high before. There's nothing that's the same in those two experiences. But I wanted to get y'all discussion. DJ Susan, I'll let you open up with your opinion. I believe people who think that there is pain and pleasure are fucking nuts. Doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with them. I just don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. Pain hurts. Pleasure is great. It makes you feel good. But you talking about endorphins. What do you think?
You want
me to start beating you and, like, tearing your nipples and setting them on fire? Because I'll do it. I'll look at you funny, but I'll do it if you enjoy it.
No.
But I just need you to sign a waiver, because I'm not going to jail for setting your nipples on fire.
The judgment of that look will hurt more than the fire. No, it's true. I think people compartmentalize. Like, they want to say, oh, yeah, those are the people that's weird because they enjoy pain. But if you start looking at different elements of what we accept, like you said, we talked about, like, a marathon runner. And the polar plunges, things like that, like, that's not comfortable swimming in, you know, 50-degree, you know, in January, jumping in the water. And you know, these things that people do, and they're not considered the same thing because it's just more acceptable, or it seems like it's more endurance or athleticism or, you know, just overcoming, you know, a physical kind of obstacle. Someone was even saying, like, sometimes, you know, like rock climbing, you know, and getting, you know, scraped up and things like that physically is kind of more relaxing than having to use your brain or having to stress about a job or work or things like that. But I'm like, there's ultra marathon runners, and they were talking about that. It's like, it's just you keep running until the last person stands. Like, every day you're running 4 miles as fast as you can until, and then you rest for a few minutes, and then you start running again until there's one person standing.
I called them idiots.
It lasts 60 hours.
I called them idiots.
I mean, but why are they doing this? Like, is that just, okay, this is just a test of their endurance? Like,
because if they didn't do that, they'd be out there serial killing people.
No, they would probably be on crack cocaine. So they also talked about people who go and, eat the hottest peppers in the world, the highest Scoville rated peppers, ghost peppers, and they talked about the Carolina Reaper, which was just last
that
tested.
Sounds like a slave owner.
Definitely sounds like a slave owner. That is racist. I think Carolina Reaper is racist.
We should dress our son up as that is Halloween.
Who is that?
Slave
the
owner.
Oh, I thought Carolina Reaper.
Carolina Reaper. That's
anyway,
what it's called.
And just how it's the worst experience in the world. People think that they're like they need to go to the hospital because it's so hot, and not dripping, eyes running, like face and everything on fire. I mean, I think they even said like the tube that runs from your ear to your throat like is like on fire, like everything's on fire. The pain passes. It's this euphoric high.
Yeah, because you're not gonna die.
You're happy you're still alive.
It's relief. That's it.
And that they do it over and over again. Like they're putting it in ice cream. They're putting these hot pepper oils in ice cream. Where like you eat like for 10 minutes, like it's this extreme like peak with ice cream. But anyway, so. But you don't believe in that.
No. So anybody got anything? What do y'all feel about? I'll go to you first, Blair. How do you feel about pain and pleasure?
I mean, there are certain people who are like masochists, and that I think that's exactly what masochists are. Like they enjoy pain or something like that. I don't know the exact technical definition, but essentially that's what masochists are. People who like being hurt. I mean, Little Kim. I think Little Kim said, pain is pleasure. Make me feel the pain. So, I mean, there is something to just, a little bit of pain. People can enjoy it because it's a different sensation, I guess. I mean, as far as, like, non-traditional pain, I guess, like, being someone who's ran cross-country, I've done half marathons, I don't really see that as pain. Like, I mean, you can get tired, but I don't think you hurt. Well, at least me. I've never, like, felt pain from that. Not until recently, you get old age, things start to change that way, but that necessarily shouldn't be pain. I mean, and I've, my barber, he had the ghost pepper in the shop the other day. Him and his wife were going to take it when he got off work. And I've seen other people take it and have no reaction to it whatsoever. Matter of fact, Trey Wingo, talking about ESPN, they did that on Mike and Mike, and he ate the ghost pepper, and it was a whole challenge. No reaction whatsoever. They're like, I'm good, let's go. So, I mean, I guess it's just different tolerance levels for some people. I mean, what some people could think of like the worst pain ever, other people would be like, yeah, I mean, it's Tuesday.
But see, that's my thing, right? There's different tolerance to different stuff. Like, I enjoy really, really spicy food. Shout out to my man Buffalo. Like, me and him used to always go eat hot wings together. I would get, real, real hot wings. He would get the low hot wings because he just couldn't take it. Like, he started being drenched in sweat just from a little bit of spice, whereas I can eat spicy food. But that's not painful to me. I'm talking about specifically people who enjoy pain. I'm not judging them. I swear I'm not. I just don't understand it because I feel like it's two different sensations, the joy of one thing and the pain of another. Doc, you got anything you want to comment on this, or are you stepping out of this one?
Nah. I think that, I think people like challenges, and I think some people will do what it takes for them to succeed and to meet that challenge that they set, especially those, ultra-marathon runners. And I think of, like, Navy SEAL guys who, go through, like, Hell Week. They put a goal, they have a challenge, and they're going to meet that challenge, whether, they go through pain or not. They kind of, they wanna meet that goal that they set for themselves. So, I mean, I don't know. Yes, so there's people that enjoy pain stuff, but I think it's more so the way I look at it is people who they have a challenge something in front of them and they want to get through it. And so, by any means necessary, I mean, I think playing football and stuff like that, you know, training. I've seen you put up a lot of weight in the weight room, and you know, it wasn't easy. But you set that goal, and no matter what, you did it. You know, it might have been painful, but you fought through it. So, you know, I don't know.
But see, even I think that I didn't enjoy that. We just had to do it to be successful at playing football. I'm talking specifically about people who enjoy pain, like who search the pain out because they enjoy it. I know there's people out there. I just don't understand it. Norristown, you got anything?
I think some people do it. I think some people who enjoy pain, I think it's some kind of high you're getting. Like I think some people get it's like some kind of sensation they get, but also of being somebody, a mother of some of a person's child who has some people's like sensory, some people pain things might feel good. That might be a sensory might feel good to them. So it might be a mental thing because there's some things I've seen my child do. I'm like, that don't hurt, but he's like he's happy. So it might be like a sensory soothing. Some people might find, I guess, soothing is really like they like pain. It's something of how they're wired. And then somebody used to like going out running marathons, and I think it may come like an addiction, getting like high off that or saying like, you know, put something in front of you want to do. I want to accomplish this. It comes like addictive, and that's also like addiction and pain. But, yeah, I think it might be your mental setup. Might be a sensory problem you got. It's something that might hurt to us may feel good to somebody else. So maybe you're wired.
But then again, that's not seeking out the pain if it feels good to you. That's seeking out the pleasure. I'm talking about people who specifically enjoy pain. Well, maybe
that may be painful for us, but they might not see that as pain. Like, I'm trying to give you an example of.
I don't know. I had a girl who had them nipple twisters, and, you know, that joint looked like it hurt, and she would want me to do it, and I just realized that this relationship wasn't going to work. Because I felt like at any moment she could call the police on me, and they would show up and look at me. I'd be gone. I just feel like I wasn't the right man for her. And God bless her if she was a sweet girl. But I just wasn't. Like, when chicks, I mean, hold on, let me get the lawyer so I can get everybody before I open up the lines for everybody. Lawyer, what you got on this?
I mean, I'm definitely about that tattoo piercing life. But like you said, that's, like, it's the high afterward. It's not really necessarily going straight for the discomfort, for the pain part. But one day on another episode, we can talk about my NSFW pain pleasure situation, but not today.
But see, I don't we understand can talk. Because I understand high. I've been high. I enjoy being high. But that's a high don't last long.
I don't think you understand it, Beach Bum Gun, because it's just not in your personality.
Is it, so that's just a personality?
I think so, because it's just, I don't think you understand in terms of, I guess, masochism, because, like, again, there's...
Masochism is the mask and all that stuff?
No.
That's the nipple twisted thing?
Just someone that enjoys pain.
It was good shit out of
you. You enjoy being spanked.
I think I caught my
Some people home. Like the thing.
You were just scared. But no, the thing is, it's also, if it's pain, and I'm saying this because you don't like, you don't like roller coasters, because like that feeling of,
you can't talk.
Yeah.
doesn't make any sense.
Because it's, but it's kind of on the same level. It's that pain or fear, but you know that you're, it's not going to kill you because you're in control of the pain, because you're not doing something that's going to, like,
a lot of fat people have died on roller coasters. I could die on roller coasters. Like, them things don't click all the way. They don't click all the way. Gravity ain't on my side.
So it's a way of, like, kind of making your body feel endangered without, but still having the comfort to know that I'm not going to die.
But why do you want to feel, why do you want your body to, I guess that's
because there is adrenaline, there is endorphins, there are these chemicals that's released that make you feel a certain way. And if you're
Why not just smoke weed? It's less dangerous.
Well, but you, if you got a job that, that tests you every daggone 6 months,
do cocaine. They ain't gonna test you.
That's a whole different set of chemicals.
What are you talking about? Yes, they test cocaine too. What are you talking about?
Get a new job.
They will test you.
Get a job like the rest of us that you get high at. No,
so, you know, you can't do real drugs. You got to deal with the chemicals your body releases.
Would you say, Doc, what would you jump in here with?
I was saying that's a whole different set of chemicals being released between smoking weed and you know, getting the epinephrine flowing from pain and excitement. That's two different types of highs.
But pain and excitement high lasts, what, 30 seconds?
I mean,
at least if I smoke a right joint, I'm good for an hour. Like, why are you cheating yourself? They have products.
Hey, you got some, that will get you high like for BDSM a while. Person.
If you drink something, you might be
higher than that. Oh, yeah. Shout out to DJ Siren and her best friend who drank way too much and was high as a kite for 10 hours.
Okay, thank you. There were birds in the hotel room. I swear to God, to this day, there were birds in that hotel room. You can't tell me there weren't.
They woke up at 2 in the morning talking about, let's go out. The day's over. We won't go back to sleep. We lost a complete day. What a great time. Can't wait to get back. But, yeah, so I guess that's my problem because, like even jumping out of a plane, roller coaster, like, that pain only lasts a couple seconds. New York, New York, you want to jump in here? What you say?
Look, ain't nothing like a little pain to know, make sure you feel alive, you heard? You need that. You need that.
I mean, I've been robbed at gunpoint. That was scary. I'm sure that would release some endorphins. I don't want it to happen again.
But, see, you were actually endangered.
Yeah.
It was a situation in which you really
thought. So whose high was probably more intense, mine or y'all with the nipple piercings? Probably mine because I thought I was going to get shot.
Well, we felt better with the nipple piercings because we know we're not going to die after the piercing.
I didn't want that high. It wasn't a good high. Being scared shitless isn't a good high. What is wrong with you people who want to be scared? I guess that's why I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
That's fear. Like, that's a genuine fear.
What, of being robbed at gunpoint? Yes, it is.
That's fear. That's not being like getting like a high off. That's like genuine. I'm fear for my life. I'm about to be called home. I think it might be different from high. That's genuine being scared, being scared for your life.
It's the same thing as, like, when chicks want to get choked out when having sex. I don't understand. Like, why do you want to lose oxygen? I feel like that takes away from the enjoyment.
That's a high. Some people because men do it, too. That's a high.
You wouldn't enjoy it? They would. Then,
yeah, man, there's no way of defining what people – like, I mean, I know we talked about the TV show Billions. That's a significant plot line of that show. Like, they're into the BDSM and I guess whatever you call the people who do the spankings and everything and put you in a trunk and keep you in there
the mistress lady or whatever.
God damn.
Like, there's people who are into that, yeah. I mean, and there's people who want to be choked during sex. Like, and it is because of the pain. It's not like they're not chasing the pleasure. I guess they get pleasure out of the pain. The two go together. So, I mean.
Hold on.
I wouldn't want
you're
it, but.
You're telling me there's chicks out here that enjoy getting kidnapped and thrown in the trunk?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's kidnapped if they come to you, but.
Did lawyer say yes?
Yes.
Like, what if it's a smelly trunk? Like, what if somebody had just, like, changed the tire and they didn't always put the tire correctly, the spare tire back correctly, and it's, like, lumpy back there?
See, you're talking about a trunk of a car. I'm talking, like, a storage trunk that you put, like, a footlocker and you just fit a body in.
Oh, God bless them. I just feel like we need to hug these folks because that's scary.
That's mental health right there. That's mental health. Like, I'm questioning your mental health right there. If you might get kidnapped and thrown in a trunk, that's mental health right there. That might be a gentleman. I don't know, but that's also like something that might be a couple screws missing or I don't
know. I mean, it's one of those things where I never judge anybody because I don't claim to know everything and understand everything. But it is something that I just don't understand. It's that pain versus pleasure thing. I can understand why someone would get addicted to cocaine because it makes you feel good. I don't understand why somebody could get addicted to pain because it makes you feel bad.
But that's just it. It doesn't make everyone feel bad.
I feel like if I punch everyone in the face in America, it's going to feel bad.
It's just a
And some people like the pain.
I guess that's the concept that I can't wrap my hand around. Why do you like something
Fight Club.
That hurts?
Fight Club.
Paul, he was schizophrenic. You
but
see,
still.
That's a mental issue.
I mean.
I'm not counting mental issues.
But mental issues don't mean like pain. He was schizophrenic. It happened to like
pain. The man was schizophrenic.
Tyler Durden was. The rest of the Fight Club wasn't.
Right.
Yeah,
they were just
regular real fat. One was real fat, and all of us have mental issues. Like, all of us have confidence issues, and sometimes we just want to belong. So I feel this pain. Sometimes he endured the pain just because he wanted to be accepted. That was the first time I ever heard bitch tits in a movie, and it was such a great – it was such disrespectful to women, but it was such a great line. But, you know, shout out to all y'all folks that like pain. I don't understand it. So, okay, so the people who like getting spanked with nipple rings and thrown in the trunks, are those the same people that like extreme hot peppers? Like, anytime I go to, like, a restaurant and I see somebody try, like, the ghost pepper challenge, are they the people that like getting thrown in trunks? Like, is this a
I don't know about people.
Like, is this a pain threshold that everyone, like, you just like any type of pain, or does it become specific pain? Like,
no,
go ahead, lawyer.
No, specific. Everyone has their areas where they find their pleasure. Some it's
so maybe
hot peppers.
So maybe I just have
getting
pain that
sweat.
I enjoy.
Okay. Maybe, or maybe
so
it's just not for you. And that's okay.
Yeah, you twist my nipples. I'm going to fight you. We're going to box.
Take a look at The Rock. The Rock calls himself a man because that's why he's in the weight room so much. He likes the pain of, you know, pushing against the weights and it's restraining because that can hurt. That's pain when you're trying to max out or when you lift weights that you can't lift and you still push through. Or maybe you don't push through and you tap out. I mean, that's a certain type of pain. And, I mean, if you enjoy lifting, that could be the pain you're into.
Okay, then I can see that difference. I mean, I guess because lifting weights, I don't know. Yeah, that's what I'm going back to you, Doc. Like, is lifting weights painful?
It can be for some. Like, of course, if you just, for you, okay, if you're repping out 135, you can do that all day. But if you want to max out, if you're going to push yourself, you're going to feel that burn, that pain. I mean, and it's that high, that endorphins that you experience right after you finish.
You know, let me ask you this. Doc, you're an athlete, college athlete. Blur, you were a college athlete. Did it hurt more while you were lifting or the next day when you were sore? And which one did you enjoy being sore?
I did not enjoy being sore.
Okay. Blur, what'd you say?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I think it was like the same thing. I didn't enjoy being sore, but I guess it depends on how hard you're going, how soon the soreness hit you. Because, I mean, out of school, I remember getting back into the gym and being sore same day. Like, before I left the gym, I'm feeling it, and it's hard to walk. And I remember times like, I mean, I didn't take my pre-workout or right when I stopped taking creatine. I felt it, like, muscle shakes and everything, like trying to rip out what I was just doing a couple of days before. Like, that was pain. Soreness was a different type of sore. Didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy not being able to squat 300. Like, it was, I mean, legs quivering, knees cracking. Yeah, that was painful.
Okay. All right. So anybody want to share with their pain they like? I haven't figured out what pain I like. I guess I like lifting weights, but I don't do it anymore. So maybe I like the pain of being hungover, but I don't get hungover.
Not everyone's a masochist, Jason.
Masochist.
Oh. Or Jay Gunning. Are you going to ask about the chocolate?
Oh, yeah. So DJ C. Sire and lawyers. So speaking of masochists and liking pain, I just want to – I love these two. I love these two ladies with all my heart. They hold a special place in my heart because they are absolutely different than anybody I've ever met before, both of them. So I got to have this question, and I'm a bit of put some of your personal business out there. None of y'all know who Lawyer is, but y'all know who DJ C. Sire is because she's my wife. So I'm putting her business out there personally. Lawyer, you can feel free to talk freely because no one knows you but me. Why were y'all trying to get high off eating as much cocoa as possible in college? And why didn't y'all know anybody with marijuana again? I feel like this is like the hood cinnamon challenge. Y'all went to the black school, so instead of doing cinnamon, y'all got the cocoa, the hot chocolate powders, and was sniffing hot chocolate in the prison shower cells at y'all dorms. Why were y'all trying to get high off cocoa powder?
It wasn't cocoa powder.
It wasn't.
It was a black cocaine.
I'm not quite sure. A lawyer, we were just trying to get dark chocolate.
I don't know why we were doing it. It was regular chocolate, but I don't know what prompted the attempt.
I think we saw somewhere that it was an actual, you know.
Y'all were reading about Aztecs and thought, let's try it.
Yeah.
That may have been it. That sounds like us. That sounds like us, so.
The same Aztecs who saw a solar eclipse and decided to tear people's hearts out. Until it was over. So when the moon went in front of the sun, they said, fuck it, everybody got to die.
Yeah, they did do some sacrificing. And they were probably high on chocolate when they did it.
Once you go black, you never go back. So,
brown sugar.
There you go.
Well, I don't know. We just thought we could maybe try and get to the amount of
I wonder how where did you get the cocoa? Like, what did y'all get?
Unfortunately, I don't think we did the best research in terms of what.
Did y'all ever get the cocoa? I imagine y'all stuffing packets of hot chocolate. I just imagine if y'all went to Swiss Miss, like y'all went to Food Line and just cleared out all the Swiss Miss, and like you saw the one with marshmallows and said, nah, this is going to be uncomfortable.
Why do you think we're sniffing it? We're eating it.
Y'all poop had to be terrible afterwards. Like, it had to just be a powdery mess.
I don't think we even got any high amount, so it wasn't really that. We kind of got lazy with it.
So were y'all eating hot chocolate like Fun Dip?
It It was chocolate bars.
Yeah, it was chocolate bars. And I think we got, like, wired, of course, before we felt high. We were just, like, sugar and maybe a little caffeine high. Yeah, it was.
Probably didn't have enough money to buy enough chocolate that we really needed
to get
to where
we
were. We didn't. I love the fact that y'all decided. Like, wouldn't it just been easier to find someone who had... I mean, y'all were in college. God bless y'all.
We didn't have legit connect at that point in time.
Y'all were definitely looking for the pain for eating package of packets of Swiss Miss.
Not
package. All right. So, hey, so what's the hottest pepper you try? And to end this discussion before we move on to our last subject of the night. So, DJ C. Simon, would you try the Carolina Reaper?
Maybe the ice cream. But no, I haven't really, I guess, it's probably real mild. I guess what, a habanero? That's probably about the hottest thing that I could think of.
Would you eat a habanero pepper, like just bite into it? Because it's not the flavor. We've had habanero flavor all the time.
But yeah.
It's the seeds of the pepper
right,
is where, the,
right.
where the burn comes in.
Yeah.
Would you try one?
Because a jalapeno can take you out if you eat the seeds. Oh.
Like, is that something that would interest you? Like, let me see how hot this feels, and I'll eat a habanero.
No, no, not really.
Lawyer?
No, I don't do that. Peppers are not my thing.
New York, New York? I don't know if New York, New York might have fell asleep. I'm not sure. Would you try a hot pepper just to enjoy the pain of it?
My fault. I was definitely on mute. My fault.
Oh, okay. There you go. So New York, New York first. Then I'll come back to you, MX. I thought New York might have passed out.
Nah, most definitely. I'd definitely try a hot pepper. You know what I mean? I'll probably be sweaty, nose running, everything. Probably be pacing back and forth, grabbing the milk carton. You know what I mean? But I'd definitely try it.
Oh, that's my pain. Ice cream.
Oh, well, that is
pain. Extra.
I mean, you know, I think we all have eaten a habanero unwilling, not by choice. So that's about the hottest I'll go, though, who I've ever gone before.
I don't think I'll eat a ghost pepper just because. Yeah, you missed the conversation. We were talking about, like, things that we were inviting to pain. So, like, would you eat a habanero by choice?
Oh, yeah, nah. Nah. No reason why. No reason to do that.
Norristown? Norristown, you on mute? All right. I will come back to Norristown.
Oh,
oh, there you go, Norristown. Good.
I was going to eat. No, I'm not eating. I think habanero is the hottest thing. It's hot, but I'm not eating. I don't want anything. Yeah, you know, I'm not putting myself that eyes watering, burning, mouth watering, sweating for no reason. Just not doing it.
Okay. Doc?
Hottest ever I had was a jalapeno, and I'll eat those, but I'm not going hotter than that. I have no reason to.
And Blur.
You know, ironically, I'm not really into hot stuff all that much. Like, I mean, I don't really do spicy food too much, but I do want to try the ghost pepper. I've actually tried to do it. My last job, we were going to do it, like, as a group, but we couldn't order enough of them. So it was, like, 7 of us, and we couldn't order them. Like, I guess because they're, like, $100, and we couldn't get them. So I guess... Yeah, if I'm ever lucky enough to get a hold of one, I'm definitely going to try it.
Man, y'all bugging. I mean, like, I would try any spice within a meal that has, like a meal of spice. But I'm not trying anything that's going to tear my body up just out of enjoyment. But again, you know, no judgment. I love everybody. You know, I guess we'll have those conversations
maybe on another night we can have a little freaky deaky conversation. All y'all people with nipple piercings. And maybe I'll call one of my old friends up to have the conversation about why she enjoys that type of stuff. I don't get it. But you know, no judgment. All right, man. We got about 15 minutes left. Anybody got anything specific they want to talk about before I jump to another subject? Anybody?
Let me ask real quick, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but I was wondering, do we have anybody individually, like a celebrity, that we're protective of? Like, yo, you can't talk about that person. Because it brought to mind when it seemed like Denzel Washington was being attacked recently or starting to come under fire. Katie Couric told a not-so-flattering story about him. I think in her story she said, you know, he had not attacked her, but that he jumped on her or whatever and made her feel uncomfortable. She was interviewing him, and her question was kind of stupid. He ain't like that. And then the chick from Grey's Anatomy telling the story how she called him a motherfucker and told him, like, hey, this is my show. Who you don't run shit over here? And the internet, the black Twitter, was like, yo, you don't talk to Denzel like that. Not you, Katie Couric. Not you, Meredith Grey, or whatever your name is from Grey's Anatomy. And I was like, yeah, Denzel's the main man. Like, you don't, not that anybody gets to talk bad about or talk bad to Denzel. And the only other person I could think of was Denzel and Beyonce. Is there anybody else who, like, we just consider or think to be, like, you know, untouchable or, like, you can't talk bad about that person?
Man, that's Morgan tough. Go ahead, Max. Morgan Freeman, didn't he marry his niece? I thought we didn't really fuck with Morgan Freeman because he's out here doing R. Kelly stuff.
I didn't know that. But blur to that story, that's exactly why I said what I said, or partially why I said what I said about people who interview. Like, she came in there asking a Denzel, of all people, a dumbass question, and then she don't like when he made her feel stupid about asking him a dumbass question. Like, yo, if you want to come and do your job, do a job, but don't fucking out here thinking that you like my home girl. Like, nah, yo. So he put her in her place. And then the Meredith thing, I get her point because, yo, the man directed a show, one show, and, yeah, you didn't tell, so you like, yo, this is how I want the scene to go. But, shit, at that point, Grey's Anatomy was on for, like, a lot of years. So she had every right to be like, nigga, this is my show. You can't tell me what the fuck to do. I'm, like, going on a set of training day telling you how I want you to talk. Like, nah, you wouldn't let me do that, so I ain't going to let you do that. So she put him in his place. I respected her for that shit because, I mean, it's Grey's Anatomy, yo. That shit's been going on for like 100 years.
But I feel like Grey's bigger than Grey's Anatomy. I mean, it could go on for another 100 years. It's still not going to be Denzel.
Yeah, but not in the TV world. Not in the TV world. Nah. Like, there's a couple shows that can't do that to. You can't do that to, like, Friends, Grey's Anatomy. I feel like you just, those two, like those long-standing, like, you know what I mean? Like, whoever made The Simpsons, the longest standing cartoon, you ain't going to come over here and say, I just want to, you know, creatively direct The Simpsons. Nah, you know, like, we've been on for 40 years. Like, no way. No way I'm letting you do that.
And I think it's more of the respect thing. I'm like, all right, even if you disagree, you don't curse out, not you. Not you, little white girl. You don't curse out Denzel. Who told you you didn't curse out Denzel?
But I guess the question,
did you confirm the Morgan Freeman story or not? Because I need to know that. That'll change some things.
Go ahead, DJ C-Side. Look, I know Morgan Freeman, like,
I don't know.
Morgan Freeman, the voice of God, was out here.
He didn't marry her, but it was the step-granddaughter of his, you know, so I think it's the granddaughter of one of his wives.
And he was in a romantic
relationship with his step granddaughter,
30-something.
He was like,
yeah, B. Morgan Creek too, man. They made him the voice of God. Shit. So,
Yeah. So, I mean, so I guess we'll go down the list. So, Doc, you got any celebrity you're protective of?
I mean, only person I can think of is maybe, like, Michelle Obama. You know, I mean, I don't know if she could do any wrong. I don't even know if she could do any wrong in our eyes.
Okay. North South?
I have a lot of people. I feel like the whole thing with Grey's Anatomy, I feel like she didn't need, like, you know how she said, like you said, yeah, you may not agree with Denzel, but like I said, it's still Denzel who's been in the field longer than you have. There's no point in you cussing on set, because if that was the other way around and he cussed at her and raised her voice, he'd been the irate black man. So there's different ways to handle that. I have a lot of people. I still, if you pay due respect, I can go on. Yeah, Michelle Obama, Denzel, people who paid their dues and are touchable. I still, there's a couple, many of them are African American for me, but I feel like there's like, you legend in me. There's a lot of them may not be here no more, but I just feel like, I think this day and age, maybe it's more of like African Americans. I'm like, yeah, I'm all bad. I feel bad. You're going to agree. But I feel like if respect there, pay that respect. Just do, if it's, you know, be respectful. But I feel this person been here longer than you and like I said, paved the way. Yeah, show them some respect.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Your lawyer?
Oprah's one of them.
I don't know.
Alright, so is it people that I would protect at all costs?
Yeah. Celebrities.
So I would probably say Tom Hanks, because he has just been a wholesome man. Like, he's just been unproblematic.
His son is Jamaican.
Well, I'm not talking about his son. And I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Tom. Tom ain't here to cause any problems. Tom is just here living his life. Chet is on some other stuff. So is Rita. He got that from Rita. Rita's the one that gets up here and raps on Grammy awards and shows. So Rita does her own thing, but Tom is great.
Okay. DJ T. Siren, you got a celebrity you're protecting at all costs?
I think I will protect him about all the celebrities. It's kind of a whole, it's a wide blanket.
The entire 90 Day Fiancé cast? No, they're not
celebrities.
Kim Kardashian?
What?
I don't know.
No. I don't know. There's not really anyone. I mean, besides what? I mean,
Tyrese? Blur put out a whole list. Blur gave me like a timeline of Tyrese moments. But I got, like, I sat on the toilet for about, like, an hour watching. It was just amazing. I would love to protect Tyrese because he's hilarious. So, Blur, nothing? I mean, DJ T-Sire, nothing?
No.
All right. New York, you got a celebrity?
Sade.
Who?
Sade. Sade Adore, the singer.
Oh,
Sade? Definitely protect her.
She like 80. Yeah. She about to die.
Oh.
I'm just playing. Shout out to Sade. You know, I thought the band name was Sade. But that's her name too, right? Man, I'm surprised, New York. That's a little old school for you, man. I'm surprised you're not like SZA.
I was going to say SZA one of them too, but she lied too much. But definitely SZA too.
Everybody lie too much. And actually, you got a celebrity?
Well, I mean, at first I said Oprah, but y'all wasn't feeling. Y'all wasn't feeling Oprah. Y'all wasn't feeling Morgan Freeman. So then I was thinking maybe like a Muhammad Ali type of, you know what I mean,
He's
or
dead.
Dr. Martin Luther King.
He's dead too.
Oh, you talking about right? Oh, so you talking about like right now? Oh, so you talking about living?
I mean, God's
they got live. Yeah. Well, then yeah, Stevie Wonder. I would say yeah, Stevie Wonder, somebody like that too.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder. Yeah, we.
Oh, that's a good
one. Fight.
He didn't protect his hairline.
Oh damn!
Shut up.
Damn.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. He can't.
He doesn't know what a headline is.
Yeah, the Beach Bum, why not Oprah, though? Go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, Oprah's probably cool. I was just cracking jokes. They always talk about how she'll never build no schools in Chicago. She always building schools in Africa. You've been to Africa. So is Nas when he got shot. That's still the wildest trip ever. Like, how do you get shot inside a 10-hour flight to Africa? You're going to bleed out, bro. Who's letting you through the security checkpoint with a bully? Go to Africa. The students are not equipped to handle that. Oh man, my celebrity. Hold on, I'm extra. So did you land on one? If you want to choose the Oprah, I was just cracking jokes. I'm cool with Oprah. Oh, I got no beef with Oprah.
Nah, I just think people go insane for Oprah. Like, I mean, she's done a lot of stuff. I just think, you know, people go back for her. That's all.
But it's not people; it's you. Who would you personally go back
for? Oh, yeah. Well, shit, man. Then I would say like somebody like Stevie Wonder. Then. You can't talk.
I'm picking the Chinese girl from Wayne's World. No, but I know. I remember the vision of her with them snakes on. It got me through a lot of lonely days in high school.
What's her name, though? You don't even know her name.
I don't need to know.
Tia.
Who? Mia?
Tia? Tia, I know her name. What's her name? Tia Carrera, something like that?
Carrera. Mm-hmm.
Carrera, yeah, Tia Carrera.
She was also in True Lies.
She's not Chinese.
What is she? Filipino?
I don't
Japanese?
Know.
Taiwanese?
No.
I'm just naming it. She's obviously Asian.
Help me think of it.
All right, yo, we got to end, yo, but that's who I'm protecting at all costs. Wherever you at, shorty, I got your back. With you now that I'm married. But, you know, you've helped me through a lot of early high school days, and I appreciate you for it, and I'll forever love you. So we got to end the show tonight. Great show tonight. Thank you all for all coming in. And wrap it to us tonight. It's been a good show. DJ Cesar, you want to say anything to the people before we roll?
Have a wonderful evening. Don't send your children to school with COVID symptoms.
Lawyer, you want to say thanks for joining us, Lawyer. Great having you on the show. You got to come back. Anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Never say anything to the police without your lawyer present.
Look, I'm calling you. Don't you worry.
That's fine.
Anything else? Oh, my bad. I always cut people off after they say their last name, so I didn't do that on purpose. Norristown, thanks for having you on. You got to come on back. Anything you want to say to the people? You want to yell at me about my sexist comments?
No, I'm happy I called in. Wear your mask.
Amen. Doc, you want to say anything to the people? Always good having you back on, man. Glad to hear your voice, bro. Anything you want to say to the people?
Yeah, man. It was good to be back. Glad to hear everybody. Great conversation. Make sure you go to the doctor and get checked up. Stay healthy.
My man, I always appreciate that. And Max, you got anything to say to the people before we roll? And Max, you got us on mute?
Oh, yeah, shit. My bad. I was back like I left something. Left, came back. No, I'm good, man. Everybody masked up.
My man.
Get back.
Blur. Oh. My bad, I cut you off. A little bit of advice, just like don't talk to the police without your lawyer. Don't take laxatives and sleeping pills at the same time. I saw that. That's got to be a fun. Don't take laxatives and sleeping pills at the same time.
I did see that. See, that's that pain that I want to, like, I worry about. Like, I just want to hug people.
That's
it,
not pain. That's poopy sheets.
New York, New York, the floor is yours, my brother.
Look, all I got to say is stay away from the onions, y'all mean. Protect yourself. Don't get sick. Other than that, what you mentioned earlier, y'all mean, look, I got to check out that chocolate high. It sounds cheap and inexpensive and fun. I definitely got to get up on that. Other than that, yo, let's end it off on a good note, y'all mean. Be where you're supposed to be because that's where you're supposed to be because you could be everywhere and nowhere at the same time. Other than that, stay safe, stay humble.
And that's it for tonight, so great conversation. Till next week.
Y'all
gonna have diarrhea. Look, I live by that.